This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Well, I think Adley's, you know, even though we still have to remember that he's still early on in his career, and that was really the first offensive adversity that he has had. I look for Adley to have a big year next year. Look to Adley to get off to a good start. I think Adley's in a great place right now, physically and mentally. I think he's going to come into camp really, really driven. And, you know, we've had conversations this offseason. He's got a great plan in place for being ready in spring training like he always is. But yeah, last year he was very disappointed in the second half. It was tough, and I think he's going to be better for it.
Always have confidence in myself, and I trust my ability to bounce back and work hard and get healthy and do all the things necessary. And got great guys around me, great coaches, so very excited.
So you heard from Brandon Hyde talking about Adley Rutschman, and then you heard about Adley talking about himself. Happy birthday, Adley Rutschman. Turns 27 today, entering his fourth season in the big leagues, coming off what was his weakest season in the big leagues. At least the second half was a scuffle. His numbers were better in his rookie year. I know he only played 113 games his rookie year. But as we head into season four, what are we expecting from Adley Rutschman this year?
I've drilled it down to a few things. There's a lot of things he could improve on after what was a horrible second half. Here's what I want. He's never caught more than 110 games in a major league season. I want Adley Rutschman to be able to catch 120, 125 games, and I want him to be able to do it at a consistent level. And that means consistent with his approach offensively and consistent with his production defensively. I want to see someone who's more adept at holding runners on base, someone who can be at least league average throwing the ball to second base, and I want to see him get back in his good habits in terms of his footwork and what he does, keeping things in front of him. And I want him to get on base 35% of the time or more. I don't think he's a superstar. I got news for you. I think Matt Wieters is probably going to look like the comp, who's a really good player,
multiple time All Star.
Yeah, but the idea that he's ever going to be put in a stratosphere with the guy who was taken one pick below him, I think is poppycock. So I'm being realistic about it. I want you to hit the post. I want you to be available to the media and act like a leader after games. I want you to hold yourself to a higher standard in terms of your consistency and your availability. And the .318 on base percentage, there's a lot of things I hated about his season last year, but that's a joke. That's a joke. You need to cut down on your chase rate, and you need to get on base, especially if they're going to keep hitting you in the two hole, and Lord knows they will because you're their glory boy. Then you need to get on base at least. I don't even need you to be who you were in 2023 when you got on base 38% of the time.
That's what I want.
I'll take 35. I'll take 36. But that better happen. You better be getting on base and passing the baton to what I guess will be Westberg behind you. So that's it. The power, he's going to run into, 30 doubles, 25 to 35 doubles. He'll have around 20 home runs at the end of the year, and that will ebb and flow. But I can't see these long troughs of weeks and months that are just complete wasteland at the plate. If that's who you are, then you at least need to walk your way out of some of that stuff.
The approach has to be a hell of a lot better than it was last year as a whole, but especially in the second half. And it was something that we were documenting in real time when he was off to a great first half, is how much more aggressive he was at the plate, and it was paying dividends. Because you can go back to the 2023 ALDS. I remember TBS kept joking, oh, he's going to take the first pitch every single time. He's going to take the first pitch because the numbers show that. But being more patient at the plate, delivering those professional at-bats, the defense has to get better. I mean, it was a failure last year where it was just track meets at times from the opposing team on the base paths. That has to be better. But ultimately, the consistency. I want to see him start in the All-Star game or be in the All-Star game again, which he has the past couple of years. But the consistency.
It's a popularity contest.
But the consistency throughout the entire season. They fell apart when he was slumping. Orioles were 53-31 through June. O's were 38-40 from July 1st on when Adley fell off a cliff. When he showed up day one in 2022, they started winning. And he was a big reason why. And he was a big reason why they failed in the second half of last year.
You mentioned 23, Jason. That to me is the bar. He's got to be at least 2023, Adley Rutschman. And part of that is the walks. He walked 92 times in 2023. Last year, 58 walks. The approach, and you both have touched on that, the approach at the plate has to be better. It just has to be better. His at-bats down the stretch last year were disgustingly bad. And my expectations for him is to at least give me a representative sample of 2023. Now, granted, if he goes the other way, like I it hurts me, but I enjoy some of these Adley jokes that I tell of late. But I'd like to stop that. It's his birthday.
What also needs to stop. He's 27 now. He's in his prime. He's not young anymore.
Nope.
He spent the better part of three seasons at the major league level.
Yep.
And he was a polished college kid when they drafted him. And remember, they left him in the minors way longer than a lot of people would have.
Oh, yeah.
So that's on them. Yeah. So what I don't want to hear is, oh, well, he's a young this, he's still developed, blah, 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 blah.
He's supposed to be a leader.
This is the prime, baby. Like, especially for a catcher. Year 27 season, year 28 season, then he starts with decline. We're closer to the decline than we are Adley Rutschman, young catcher. This isn't some Francisco Alvarez who was an international signing and he's a rookie with the Mets as a 21-year-old catcher. No. Sorry. And did COVID play a role in this or that? Maybe. But it played a role in everybody's development.
It's also
of that age. Like, he's not young. He's in his prime, and he needs to produce like someone in their prime.
And he's also the victim of this organization, which is incredibly deliberate with all their call-ups. Like, we in real time were asking for Adley and others to be called up sooner than they actually were. But that's the way they like to do business. Alas, you're right. He's 27 years old. He's 27 years old today. The prime is, what do they say? It's now 28 to 33 now.
Not for catchers.
Yeah, but I mean for the average player. So he's in that ballpark now because he is a catcher.
Yeah. I mean, did he have a lot put on him as a 1-1 and as bad as this franchise was at that time? Yeah, he did. But this was beyond a slump, what he went through last year.
No.
This was...
it's almost half
like,
a year.
Dude, it almost felt like a character flaw. Like, it almost felt like there's something in his makeup that is not letting him at least just have good habits and just... I don't know if he was trying to prove something to himself or trying to prove something to the organization or... I don't know... but he got so far away from being a fundamentally sound player in everything he does. Leadership, batter's box, behind home plate. That it does give me a little trepidation. Like it does give me a little pause. This was not a slump. This was a complete and utter 180 degrees in everything we had sort of come to, everything we had been sold about him.
And that's why... it's been so puzzling how you kept just thinking in real time, it's got to be an injury. Something is off.
He did allude to that when he talked.
I don't want
to
hear it. Yeah, he did, and that's fine, and I'm sure we'll hear that. Yeah. That's like, you can shove that, like, you know, whatever. You can dip your donut in that. Like, that I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. There was no surgery. There was no procedure. There was no cleanup. This organization was given a million opportunities to give him an out. They didn't give their star 1-1 an out. I don't want to hear it now. You had some ouchies? That's baseball, bro. I mean, they've gone out of their way not to beat you up. They've gone too far out of their way not to beat them up. There hasn't been enough tough love in this organization, period, no, across the board. So I don't want to hear that.
And to your point,
you barely caught. You caught 100 games.
The leadership part of it, God forbid they bring in any outside leader, so it's incumbent upon him, the 1-1, the guy that was supposed to be a leader, to actually show some leadership abilities this year because he didn't show it a year ago.
No.
We have a huge show today, a busy Thursday. We get started guest-wise. We're running out of Brian Baldinger segments for 2025 now. Is that where we are? Is that the year? But he's it's Super Bowl week. Brian Baldinger, Odyssey NFL Insider, joins at 3 o'clock. Our weekly chat with IA Hall of Famer Lucy Burge. She's from BetMGM now. It's at 4 o'clock. Dan Shaughnessy will check in on his thoughts about the Boston Red Sox as we've been going around the AL East. He's a Boston Globe columnist, joins at 4:30. And Gene Wong, he covers the Terps for the Washington Post. Huge game at Ohio State tonight. He helps preview it at 5:30.
Yeah, we'll talk to Gene from the arena there in Columbus. Big opportunity for the Terps to keep this four-game winning streak going. Dan Shaughnessy has been pretty hard on the Red Sox in recent years, rightfully so. I wonder if he's a little more optimistic about their prognosis for this season. I'm guessing it's got to be at least ticked up a little bit. Baldy's down at the Super Bowl. We'll talk to him. And we've got Bill Belichick making appearances on behalf of his gal pal down in New Orleans. I'm sure the Burge is all over that.
Yeah, I would assume so. Coming up next, more Adley Rochman. Totally Radley. And Adley did speak during the Birdland caravan. We hear from him next here on the—
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Fam.
I mean, I'm not disappointed. You know, it's definitely nice as a righty and, you know, maybe as a lefty a little bit better. So I think everyone's excited.
That's Adley Rochman live from, well, he was at the Birdland Caravan. I did that 2 days in a row. Talking at the Birdland Caravan about the wall being moved back in, and he's
Sig's
excited
wall.
About yes, that may factor
the
in.
The wall of Sig?
May factor in six packs for a second.
What do you think? What should we call it? Maybe the wall of Sig?
Yeah. But
calculator corner? I don't know. What?
I want to see what it looks like with this new moat and or whatever it is, because they're going to have a giant area for
It's not going to look great.
No.
It's not how the ballpark was designed.
No, no.
This is janky as hell what they're doing.
Well, it should look better than it did a year ago.
I don't know.
Because it looked goofy when it was...
I think it's going to look pretty goofy
now. It's going to look goofy.
It's going to look goofy as hell. You got like 50
concrete?
Feet between where people are sitting and where the wall is.
Yeah, that's them.
That would you show me another place where that's happening.
No. Still say, give... Mr. Splash, a moat.
Yeah, that's what
give
I said. Give him the moat.
Come on.
Put him on a boat.
Put the Oriole bird out there.
Yeah.
Let him dance with people during the game. Yeah. Whatever. Especially the playoffs. They won't be scoring runs. Give people something to watch.
Yeah, that's hey. More from Adley Rochman. They have new hitting coaches. He talks about them.
Yeah, I think, Ashley's just a guy super good with all the players and everyone's individual needs as far as hitting goes, just because it's so tough to be a hitting coach, but he does a great job of adapting to each guy's needs and really like shifting how he's able to interact, talk, and work with each guy.
So this team stopped hitting. He stopped hitting. The team stopped hitting in the second half of the season. So they
blame their hitting coaches.
Yeah, so they reshuffled the deck. You think they can make an impact, Jason?
I think this is on Adley Rochman. Is what I think. I think Adley Rutschman's production is on Adley Rutschman. If it improves, full marks to him. I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, thank God they rearranged their hitting program. They were already supposed to be geniuses at it. So, I mean, what? Like, I'm old enough to remember everybody we'd bring on this show for years saying it's the greatest hitting incubator they've ever seen. No, okay. So, look, if he looks like he did last year, I'm putting it 100% on him. If he turns it around and gets back where he was, I'm going to give him 100% of the credit.
I'm with you. He's got to get back to himself. He's got to stop swinging from one knee. Remember how often we saw that?
Dropping his shoulder and like chasing launch angle like a kid?
It's getting back to the basics and delivering the professional at-bats that we saw the first 2.5 years here.
Adley, talking at the Birdland Caravan, talks about his off-season approach.
Yeah, I mean, just having good conversations with our coaches, hitting staff, and trainers, and just getting everything sorted out and back to work, you know. Got to show up for the next day, and I think everyone's excited for this year.
You think he did any wall sits? Like on that commercial?
We'll have to wait for the new batch of commercials to find out.
A lot of wall sits.
I wonder if Hands Up is coming back.
Rofo might be looking up, for a spokesman.
Up. Bones onto something there. I don't know if you caught that, but the hands up promo that ran every inning of every game.
I got news for you. If you're expecting any more bells and whistles or a penny to have been invested in Masson, you're gonna find out that you were wrong.
I think, like, we'll get a new promo.
They might not even be promoing the right games. No, I don't know.
No, they can't fill all the time, so we'll get a promo every inning.
They'll do a new promo for 2025.
The best moment for me was when I found out the Nats had a hands up too, like that, because you never watch
kill two birds with one stone.
They had their own hands up ad, but that was Adley on the offseason approach. More from Adley Rutschman. He's got a new coach. His name's Robinson Chirinos. He used to be here as a player. Talks about Chirinos as a coach.
I mean, he's just like all-time human being, like great guy to play with, and I'm really excited to have him around. And he's just going to be a great energy guy, great coach, and like super, super, super knowledgeable.
First ballot Hall of Fame human being, Robinson Chirinos, according to Adley Rutschman. They know him a little bit. Obviously, did he replace Freddie Gonzalez? Is that
yes.
The right? Yeah, so that's a pretty
impactful. Freddie Gonzalez had a lot of experience and a lot of clubhouses and dugouts as a, I don't want to say coach. Coach.
A
manager at one point. It's a very different skill set than Chirinos.
It's a much different staff in general. We're talking about the hitting coaches already, and there's a lot of talent.
They didn't go out and bring in a whole bunch of super experienced people to prop this manager up with.
No.
Seemed to me they rearranged some deck chairs, went young and cheap.
And
that's what it looks like to me.
And I'll say it again, God forbid they brought in any leadership from the player side. Like,
well, I'm just telling you, they didn't go out and get experienced coaches either.
No, they didn't. They nothing. Like, we're going
to. Freddie Gonzalez is the reason that Adley Rutschman couldn't have a quality at bat for 4 months last season.
We're going to ride or die. We're going to ride or die with Young.
That's the deal?
Yeah.
All right.
It's something. More from Adley Rutschman. Adley, do you know what led to your second half struggles last year?
A lot of factors. But, you know, I think, like I said, we had great staff and, like, great people around who are able to have, like, tough conversations and things that we can look forward to this year.
Tough conversations. Weren't a lot of those.
A lot of factors. That wasn't super introspective.
Yeah. But tough conversations.
He's keeping it internal.
He's not. He don't reveal anything.
No.
No.
There's
a lot of
buttoned up
speak.
And PR 101. Smile and say nothing.
I want to hear some of those tough conversations, though.
Do you really think they were all that tough? I don't think he even knows what a tough conversation is.
Probably tougher. Okay, let me ask you this. Do you think they were tougher than our conversation with Bone yesterday about Yolo?
No. No.
Yolo, whatever the hell
I think
it's called.
If he was put in the Bone's hot seat, he would crumble.
Oh, man.
Oh, wow. So Bone. So you're saying, wait, Bone is tougher.
I think Bone has been,
I'm fragile.
Because he's been around us long enough, he's calloused up enough that he could handle this. Like, if you thrust Adley right into that, I don't think he can handle it.
Wow. Bone, you're
now over time he might catch up to the Bone, but I think the Bone could withstand it way more than him.
Jason, Bone, in an odd way, Jason just gave you an incredible compliment.
I did compliment him.
Yeah. He did
you are
compliment
mentally
there.
Tougher than Adley Rutschman.
You can't yell at these
kids today. I don't know if I want to. I don't even know if I want to claim that, but.
One more from Adley.
Take it, Bone.
Yeah, you take it and run.
I'll take the compliment.
You got to take a kick where you get it.
All right.
Because in 15 minutes, he's going to yell at you about something.
Yeah, that's true.
Adley, are you confident you can bounce back from last year?
Always have confidence in myself, and I trust my ability to bounce back and work hard and get healthy and do all the things necessary. And got great guys around me, great coaches, so very excited.
I was
just
waiting.
Slipped it right in there. Just let me
get healthy.
Yeah, let me get that. We're almost in Sarasota. Let me get that narrative going. Just real passive aggressively. Like I would never opine about it. I'm not gonna make a big deal about it. I'm just gonna start slipping and sliding it in there.
Yeah, but I feel like the narrative was during the season. I mean,
everybody else
happened.
Did, but he didn't say anything.
Yeah, or the team.
Yeah, got to get healthy, Jason. Leading. That's a lot of people thought he wasn't healthy last year.
A lot of people thought he wasn't in shape.
Well, that's true, too. It is his birthday. Set limits on your cake intake.
Like Bone said, it's the time of year for setting positive goals for yourself. I'm sure he's got a journal full of them.
I think he journals, Bone?
I would hope.
Maybe that's a future six-pack. Six resolutions Adley Rutschman should make.
I would hope he did off-season resolutions before January 1st.
Yeah, well, that's in the rearview mirror now.
Saying,
We're on to Sarasota.
I would hope he They all do.
Terps getting ready for a game tonight at Ohio State. They're going for 5 in a row. They're 18th in the country. We preview that game. You can hear it right here on 105.7 The Fan, beginning with pregame coverage at 6 o'clock. We preview next here on The Fan.
Yeah, I mean, they've really kind of turned the corner. They've won 3 out of 4. Lost a tough one to Illinois the other night, but have been playing really good. I mean, you win at Purdue, you win at Penn State, home versus Iowa. You're playing good basketball. And I think it's obviously Bruce Thornton's one of the best guards in this league, but he's got a young freshman, John Mobley, who's really matured, and I think he's the difference in the fact that he's playing at such a high level and shooting at such a high level that it's going to be a really tough contest for us.
That's Kevin Willard on with Vinny and Haney, I think, yesterday, previewing tonight's matchup. Turf Plate Wisconsin a week ago Wednesday. So they've had a week plus off before playing Ohio State at Ohio State tonight. They played them earlier this year, beat them 83-59. This is a different Ohio State team, though, than the one they faced.
And that game was over at the half. And this game, the first half for me will be very telling because of how much time Maryland has been off and how hot they were before the layoff, and how much getting off their feet for a team that's not playing a deep bench is important. But it's an interesting needle for Willard to thread between rest and rust. And we had Jacoby Gillespie on the show the other day. He talked about them ramping things back up fully at practice. But, I mean, if Maryland can come out, I'm not even going to say like they did at home against Ohio State. If Maryland can just come out and play a solid first half, it could go a long way, because that's certainly a weird scheduling quirk.
If Maryland comes out three quarters as well as they did in that first game, it's over. Just looking at the numbers from that first game of the first half, Maryland shot 19-34 in the first half. Ohio State entered that game ranked third nationally in three-point shooting. They didn't make their first three in the basketball game until 13 minutes to go in the game.
I think there was one point in time where they had like 15 turnovers and like one made three-pointer.
The first half, 12 turnovers, just 2 turnovers for Maryland. Maryland got 18 points off of turnovers in that game, and they, of course, were leading 50-17. 50-17, which was the largest halftime lead for the Terps ever in a Big Ten conference game.
Kevin Willard on with Vinny and Haney yesterday talks about this 8-day layoff. What did they do during the break?
Yeah, we did, we took 3 days off, not in a row. We kind of did a day after Wisconsin. We did 2 days we did a lot of individual work and then took another day off Sunday, tried to get these guys refreshed mentally. And then we kind of just went through our playbook a little bit. We did hit the road. We were on the road for 4 days, so kind of combination of both. The biggest thing was trying to make sure that we get these guys some rest, because January was a brutal schedule. So kind of get them some rest and get them refocused and get ready for February.
It's interesting he didn't give them the consecutive days off, because remember, he was lamenting he gave them too much time off between games earlier this year.
Heading into the Washington game.
Yeah.
Yeah, and again, we can relitigate whether they were on the road enough the first 6 weeks of the season. They weren't. And how that played a role in some of their early road struggles. And I'm sure that'll be a course correction that we see in their scheduling moving forward. But they're at a much different point now than they were then. And the bottom line is, this February schedule, I said it before, I'll say it again, I think it sets up very well for them. Every week is pretty similar when the games are played, not more than one road game at a time, no extended trips, no real logistics issues, and a lot of time to practice on your home court.
If you can find a way to win tonight, you can really start to dream big about this team, because then 4 of the next 5 are at home, and the one road game is Nebraska, who, that's not a layup game by any means.
They're playing much better.
They played really well again last night. Slow first half, but dominated Washington in the second half.
But a team that you beat earlier in the year, you got a chance. If you can get tonight, you got a chance.
Well, and some things are already starting to happen that we started talking about when they went into this break a week ago. Sparty's come back to earth in a big way. Sparty had to go out west. Sparty's struggling. I mean, they gave UCLA a game, still came up one shot short. So, like, they're not going to run away and hide. Like, their 13-game win streak is way in the past now, and they're trying to get out of a losing streak. Oregon's come back to earth in a very big way. Illinois can't string wins together, and there was a point in time you'd have asked me who's the best team in this conference a month ago. I probably would have said the Fighting Illini. They can't win. They can't shoot the ball. They did get their 7-footer back, but
he turned his ankle.
Yeah, so, like, there's a path to, at the very least, solidifying the double bye.
More from Kevin Willard on with Vinny and Haney earlier this week. And the Terps are ranked for the first time in a couple years, 18th in the country. How important is it to be ranked?
I think it does matter for two big reasons. I think, you know, in today's era of college basketball, with all the newness every year of your roster, it's kind of a reward for the guys get rewarded for all the hard work that they've put in. So for a new team to come in, and you make them work and you make them sacrifice, I think it's really good for your team morale to understand, like, hey, how hard you've worked is great. And I think it's also really good for what you just said. You know, last night you're watching college basketball and they're going through the rankings and, you know, Maryland's out there. So I think it's good for the future of the program.
When you haven't been ranked in a couple years, it's a big deal to get ranked. And it's a big deal to his point, you know, the effort the kids have put in. It's a big deal to see them not only in the top 25, you're in the top 20 at 18.
It's funny how, like, the whole process of putting teams into the tournament has changed and how much analytics are involved now in the whole quad one, quad two. And
net rankings.
Yes, what's quantifiable, what's not, how much they dig into strength of schedule versus the past and all of that. And the people who live in that world will tell you that these rankings mean absolutely nothing and they're completely arbitrary, and especially any snapshot in time in early February is really meaningless. But I do think it is kind of cool that it does. Of course, it still matters to the kids. Like, when you're sending something out to your boys, hey, well, I'm on TV tomorrow night, and there's that little 18 or 25 next to your name, like to the team's name. Like, that's still a cool thing. Like, it's still. Now, again, big picture, it probably doesn't matter. But as long as they're doing these kinds of things, it's good to be a part of it.
Well, I think exactly what Kevin Willard said. It's good for the kids on the team to see that.
Little morale boost.
And it's good nationally when they do flash the top 25 and you get that national
good
recognition.
Good for recruiting.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Can't hurt. That's for damn sure. Hey, more from Kevin Willard. What's he think of the Big Ten? How's it's flowing to this point this season?
I think the biggest thing, I actually just talked to Mick this morning, is they've been home since, I think, they played at Rutgers. They've been on the West Coast since January 14th. So they've played four home games. One of their away games was USC. So he's been able to really practice and kind of get in a good rhythm because they haven't really traveled, and it's really helped his team.
Well, they ran a gauntlet of literal, like, destruction.
Mickey means Mick Cronin.
Yes, UCLA. He's talking UCLA. And, I mean, go back and look at UCLA's schedule from Thanksgiving until the second week of January. It's bonkers. They were never home. They had games moved when they were finally getting back home because of the fires out there. Mm-hmm. Like, that schedule was nuts.
And Mick let everybody
and
know
Mick,
it.
Yep.
They're eight and four in conference. They're legit. Yeah.
They're shooting the three ball a lot better than they did when we saw them at College Park. They've settled down. They've got a deeper rotation. They're formidable.
You want to hear one more from Willard?
Yeah.
Deshaun Harris Smith, the sophomore guard, he talks about him.
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest thing that Deshaun has done is he's really grown into a tremendous leader. And I think, you know, obviously going from starting and playing all the minutes he played last year, going to the bench, I think it was obviously a big adjustment for him. But I think as he's gotten adjusted to it, he's really helped us tremendously with his leadership. Not only when he's on the floor, but when he's on the bench, he's almost like having another coach out there. And, you know, he's gonna have an unbelievable career. I think so much pressure was put on him last year and so much was talked about his shooting. I think coming off the bench has relaxed him a little bit. It's let his personality come out a little bit. And I think he's playing really good basketball.
I did not see that coming. But he was he's glowing about Deshaun Harris Smith and the leadership he's exhibiting as a sophomore.
It's expressed in different ways, and he certainly has. Look, a lot of the kids who were being talked about in the same breath as him a year ago not only aren't at this program anymore, they've gone to smaller programs and they're struggling there, or they're hurt and not playing at all. So the fact that he's still here, he's been able to find his niche. And contribute off the bench and be anything but a malcontent, That's leadership. But we forget how young these kids are.
Yep.
Like, these kids are basically Rocco's age, like my middle guy. Like, they're, or slightly older than Chloe. Like, they're babies, man. Like, not everybody has that level of maturity. And you could tell me, oh, well, they're being paid now, blah, 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 blah. Well, there's plenty of adults who are paid to do their job who can't handle it with a plum when circumstances change under their feet.
Coming up next, we get to the Ravens, and Roger Rosengarten just finished his rookie season, and he did not start when the season began, but he became entrenched at right tackle. How would we grade his rookie season? We're going to tell you next here on The Fan.
Well, he's played both sides of that. You know, he's played left and right. I mean, this year, it's a very hard thing to come in as an offensive lineman, as a rookie, and play well. And Roger, honestly, just got better and better and better and better, mature guy beyond his years. I think a year in the weight room is going to really serve him well, as it will all of our guys. But I think that we were very, I can speak for myself and say I was very happy with what Roger did. It's a very tough position to play as a young player. I think his future is very bright, as are the guys that he played with on the offensive line this year. And we're excited to see what he looks like next year.
Roger Rosengarten, that was Eric DaCosta talking about him at the end of season press conference. And Roger Rosengarten, by the end of the year, was quite frankly playing his rear end off at right tackle. So are we thinking B plus, A minus? Like,
I give him an A.
Yeah, like he, and we can talk about whether or not guys were hurt, but he went up against TJ Watt twice and he had to deal with Myles Garrett and didn't embarrass himself either time. And that's 100 miles, Jason, from his first snap where he ended up missing an assignment and there was a fumble cause against the Chiefs.
I thought he was better in the playoffs than all-world first-round center Tyler Linderbaum.
Yeah.
I give him an A. Look, early first month of the season, the Chiefs had that guy with the name we can't pronounce at left tackle, and he was getting great reviews. And Rosengarten was rotating. And that guy got benched, and they brought in the bust from Arizona.
Humphreys.
He got hurt right away, and then they had to move a guard to tackle.
Yeah, because they won't play the kid from
Rosengarten, on the other hand, we're talking about moving to left tackle to replace Ronnie Stanley, who had his best year in 3 or 4 years. So, no, I think if you talk about, you know, players in the Baltimore Ravens organization on their rookie contracts who are the most important or stand to have the most put on their plate going into next year, he's got to be right there at the top of that list. I think he's their next left tackle. I think he put up enough of a base and foundation on the right side last year that if Ronnie Stanley is gone, like we all think he is, that I think Roger Rosengarten is probably the next man up at left tackle. Now, I'm not saying they won't sign some veteran tackle to at least compete with him, or I'm not saying it's an impossibility that he ends up on the right side again for one reason or another, but he absolutely looked the part.
He's exactly what you would want out of a rookie and not taken in the first round, just looking at the constant progression from him. He didn't start week one, alternated drives the first couple games. He didn't play a snap week three against Dallas, and then that was when Voorhees went down and you moved McCary from right tackle to left guard, and he was starting the rest of the way and got better and better and saved his best for the end, going up against some of those premier pass rushers that you just mentioned, Ken. Roger Rosengarten, yeah, I think you got to give him an A for his rookie season, and I think he will be their week one left tackle.
We like to joke sometimes about maybe how Eric says things or what Eric says, but when he's talking about Roger Rosengarten there, he's telling no lies. They had to be thrilled with what they were seeing from him this year.
I mean, look, especially when they lose their offensive line coach right before the season starts and there's uncertainty and that five-man unit never really played together in a meaningful way the entire summer. I think he accomplished more than they could have hoped for. The offensive line, look, did they still have their moments collectively where, especially on the road, things were rough? I mean, the first half of the Kansas City game, or the Buffalo game, was rough for a number of people there. But they've done a very good job of identifying offensive line talent, by and large. In fact, they've done a good enough job at it at times, that they've had guys stuck on their bench who might have been better than somebody playing ahead of them, but it wasn't really worth the risk to find out. And then by the time that guy finally got a chance to play, he did well for a year here and then got a bag somewhere else.
Like a Ben Powers.
There you go. And he's not the only one. That's a phenomenon that's happened for a long time. So
Simpson.
Yeah, I mean, whether it's free agent or draft.
But they brought him and nobody, everybody who's like this guy. Like, he's here
Patrick
1 year.
Patrick McCary. I mean, how much McCary. Value have they gotten out of him, both as an original discovery, as a guy who's played five different positions for him, and as a guy who's never really cost him any real money and has outplayed his contract in a bunch of different ways, multiple contracts at that. So this is an area where I think that they will look at to continue to save money. Because going back to an earlier topic from this week, I think they might need to spend a little money on defense.
It's sort of looking like this was a 2-year plan for Eric DaCosta in terms of completely revamping this offensive line. Mm-hmm. You replace three of your five starters heading into 2024. We know that Ronnie Stanley and Patrick McCary are impending free agents, so you could potentially replace five guys in 2 years, but... Like you're saying, Jason, with how they identify these guys and then develop these guys, you have to feel good.
And let's be honest here. Like, if you would have given them True Serum before the start of the season,
they were worried.
They were worried about Ronnie Stanley.
Bro, they were worried at the end of September. They were worried. Well, we're sitting here saying you better find your five that includes McCary and start riding them because you don't have six, seven, or eight. You might have five, maybe five and a half. Like, don't be too cute here. Don't force this Voorhees thing. Don't get caught up in your own draft hype.
If they would have bet over-under that Ronnie Stanley was making it through the season, they would have taken the under before the season. And he ended up having the best season, what'd you say, in like 4 years? Since basically 2019.
And that was borne out by the deal he agreed to.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, coming up next... Always good to have Baldy on the program. He took a week off last week as he was at the Senior Bowl. But Brian Baldinger, Odyssey NFL Insider, he joins us next here on The Fan.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby.
If you enjoy football, bootball,
be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys. New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday.
Subscribe on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.